You're listening to Two Moms, Zero Attention Span, the podcast with your host, Jess Martini.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Two Moms, Zero Attention Span podcast. Today, I am here with Kaylee, the birth trauma mama, as you guys may know her on social media or TikTok and Instagram. So I'm here with Kaylee, who is also, if you guys didn't know, a licensed therapist as well. And we are going to be talking today about birth trauma, traumatic pregnancies. She's going to be sharing a little bit about her story, and we're going to talk about how that impacts parenting and parenting after and even during those traumatic moments. So yeah,
thank you so much, Jess, for having me. I'm so excited.
No, thank you for coming. So we found each other pretty early on TikTok. Yeah. And I'm so happy that I found you because I really felt like the space that you created was something that was so needed. Because a lot of people have experienced birth trauma or traumatic pregnancies and don't feel that they have a place to talk about especially a lot of what goes on mentally or the repercussions afterwards. And a lot of the more difficult parts of that. And you were so openly talking about it and creating a place of solidarity and support that so many people, so many women, so many parents and mothers, I feel like desperately needed. So I've always
thank you so much.
Yeah, your content and your space. So for those who don't know Kaylee and her story, I wanted her to just share with you guys as much as she wants to, or a little bit about her story with her son. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I was pregnant with my son. It was our first child, back in 2019, and, I had a totally typical, normal, healthy pregnancy. And a little over 40 weeks, I went in for an induction because some high blood pressures, just some concerns overall. I personally was very concerned about his size. No one else was, but I just felt like I was growing a very large baby. He was 11 pounds when he was born. But so I just felt like, let's just do this. I went into the hospital for some high blood pressure readings, and I was like, I'd rather just induce from here and feel better about getting him out before he gets even bigger. And so I had sort of the 2-day long, lovely induction, nice and slow and steady. And then on the third day, around noon, I was finally 10 centimeters, which was exciting. And my OB came in, which was actually an OB that I hadn't met previously. And she said, "You're 10 centimeters. Let's get excited. You're going to meet your baby. It's going to be great." And she left the room to sort of go get ready. And my nurse was starting to teach me like how to push. And I told her that I wasn't feeling well. She said, "Totally normal for transition. Let me get you a bag to be sick in." And I said, "Nope, something is really wrong." And she sort of turned and looked at me, and I started screaming that something was wrong with my heart. And then I went into cardiopulmonary arrest at that point. So my heart stopped and I stopped breathing. So she hit the code blue button in the room while my husband ran out into the hallway screaming for a doctor. And at this time, unfortunately, my parents were also on the floor. My mom and I were super close. She had just been in the room, and my husband and I guess decided, I have no memory of this, that we wanted her to be in the room during the birth. I think my husband needed some more support. It had been a long 3 days. I think partners sometimes also just like don't realize how insane it's going to be and how hard emotionally it is to watch your partner in pain and not be able to do anything. So I think he wanted some extra support. So my mom had actually just left the room to go tell my dad, who was in the waiting room, that, she was going to be in the room. And, unfortunately at that point they heard the code blue overhead and saw everyone run, into my room. And so there were about like 20 or 30 medical professionals who just flooded into my room, pushed my husband into the back corner. They started CPR right away. I was rushed to the OR. They were able to get my son out in 6 minutes from the time the code blue button was pressed. The time that he entered this world was 6 minutes, which is insane and absolutely 100% saved his life. So he came out, he was not well at that point. He had to be resuscitated, but he bounced back very, very quickly, thankfully. So CPR was continuing on me throughout the entire C-section. And then they were able to get a pulse back. And at this point, my OB recognized that likely I was having an amniotic fluid embolism, which is an extraordinarily rare but often fatal obstetric complication. And she knew that the second sort of phase after cardiopulmonary arrest is DIC, which is basically a condition where your body creates tons of tiny little clots all over, and it consumes all of the clotting factors that exist in your body. And so then you just bleed out. And so I had a very profound case of DIC, and I needed 143 units of blood product throughout this whole ordeal. And there's like 8 to 12 in the human body. So I had to have my entire blood volume replaced more than 10 times. And then it was sort of like a whole 8-hour, 9-hour ordeal to get me to the point where I could be transferred. But throughout that, I did code again. I needed more CPR due to the blood loss. And then they tried lots of different things. They put in a Bakri balloon. They tried to embolize my uterine arteries. They tried a lot of things to stop the bleeding, but eventually they did have to do a hysterectomy. So they did a hysterectomy. They took out one of my ovaries, and then they packed my entire abdomen and left me open because they knew they were going to have to sort of keep going back in. And at this point, they really couldn't get my heart and lungs stabilized. So my respiratory rate was horrific. And again, I coded again, so my heart was continuing to be unstable. And so they had to put me on ECMO, which is the highest form of life support. It basically oxygenates and perfuses for you. It does the job of the heart and lungs for your body. And so they were able to get me on that and then transfer me out late that night at like 9 or 10 p.m. So about 9 or 10 hours later to a medical center that could handle the ECMO circuit and everything else that I needed. And so once I got there, the ECMO was keeping me alive, but my heart wasn't recovering in the way that it needed to. And so they had tried every medication to get it to sort of pump effectively in the way that it should have been, and nothing was working. So they tried one last thing called an Impella, which is this windmill-like device that they put up through your femoral artery into your heart to try to get your heart to begin working again. And so that was our last ditch effort. And our cardiologist said, like, this is all we've got left. If it doesn't work, then her heart is going to clot and she's unfortunately going to die. And so thankfully it did work, which is why I'm here today. I had 3 or 4 more abdominal surgeries to deal with sort of the blood loss and the clotting and all of that. And then after 2 days, I was removed from ECMO support. After 4 days, I was taken off the ventilator. And then on the 5th day, I woke up for the first time. And that is when I finally got to meet my son for the first time, which was awesome.
And then through all this, a lot of the story your husband has told you, your husband was there the whole time. Through all of this.
Yes.
Because your story is such an incredible one. Like, you know, I've seen bits and pieces of it on your content. Like I knew the overview of it. I didn't know all the details, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever shared start to finish in any piece of content, every single detail, but it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle that you're here. And I'm wondering when you first woke up and you first met your son.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of those moments or any of that day or?
No, unfortunately. So I have videos, thankfully, of meeting my son for the first time. I was really out of it still. I don't have any memory of it. And this part's always really hard to explain to people with like the way that memory works, but because in the moment my short-term memory was intact, so like from day to day back then I remembered meeting him for the first time, there is no memory that exists of meeting him the first time, if that makes sense, because my brain had already remembered that first time in my short-term memory and now it's gone. So I don't have like it's not like a few days later, I remember it being the first time, because it wouldn't have felt that way back then, if that makes sense.
It does. It does and it doesn't. I mean, it does.
It's hard to conceptualize,
but it does make sense when you're explaining it. When you look at pictures though, do you feel like you remember those moments, or the pictures, it's kind of like an out of body experience when you're looking at those pictures?
There are certain ones that I remember and other ones that, are just like an out-of-body experience. I will say my medical team was incredible for a lot of reasons, obviously the life-saving and all that. Yeah. But I was in the cardiothoracic ICU, which is like the highest level of ICU. And they came in and told my husband, so my son wasn't transferred until like 24 hours later. They weren't able to transfer him, so he stayed back. My dad stayed with him in the NICU at the other hospital, because my mom and my husband wanted to come with me, obviously, and they knew that I'd be really sad if no one stayed with Cal, so my dad stayed back with him. Yeah. So when I was transferred the next day, when they brought Cal, my CTICU nurses were like, we're gonna bring him down and do skin to skin, and my husband was like, whoa, no, you're not. That baby weighs 11 pounds.
Yeah.
And they were like, Steve, we love you and empathize with what you're going through, but you have to understand, like, this is what's going to be best for not only the baby, but for Kaylee. And like, we're going to do it. And so they have, they have pictures of him fully like hugging me skin to skin while I was on ECMO, which is incredible. So they did a really good job of making sure they got him on me like every day while I was still in a coma, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And it's pretty cool that you have these memories that you have these photos. Yes. Because you don't have any of these memories, obviously.
Exactly.
And I also wanted to ask how that you feel impacted your first few months of parenting, because this is something that you talk a lot about that I feel a lot of people really did need a voice to start talking about what it's like to parent after trauma, like mm-hmm. that, the attachment with the baby, the high anxiety, trying mm-hmm. to piece together what it is that just took place. So I wanted to ask you about your experience with parenting right after trauma.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrific. I really don't have like a great way to describe it, except for like, it was horrific. You have, in my case specifically, you have all of these people telling you like, oh my God, you shouldn't be here. Like, you are a miracle. You are so lucky. You should be so grateful. Oh my God, I can't believe you're here. And all I can think about is I went in to have my baby and then I died and had all of this crazy shit happen to my body. I can't have any more kids. And you're all just talking about how lucky I am. And I can't figure out how I got so unlucky. And then like massive guilt and shame, right? Because I survived an often fatal complication, right? Like, there, 3 weeks later, there was a woman my exact age, had a very similar life to mine, who died of this. And so it was so hard to figure out how to navigate all of the feelings that I was having that were not matching up with what other people were telling me how I should feel. And with that, I had zero bond with my child. I just couldn't. I was still so physically ill. So I was supposed to be in the hospital, projected for like a few months, and then rehab. I was young and healthy, and that helped a lot. And after 2 weeks, I was discharged straight home from the ICU. And it's all I wanted. All I wanted was to be home. And so I fought for it, but I was still really sick. And so I couldn't take care of my baby. My parents lived with us for 6 weeks, which they're amazing, but No one wants to live with their parents for 6 weeks or have to because they can't physically take care of their own child.
Right.
So like I had to watch everyone else give him his first bath and I had to watch everyone else do all these other things. And at the same time, I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And I think that piece was so hard. Like I didn't want to, I had no energy. I had nothing. Like again, I had lost my blood volume however many times. I was just completely out of it. I was still having nurses come every day to pack my incision because it was still open. Like there was so much going on that I could not focus on a baby. And I had so much guilt and shame about that. And trying to parent after what had happened felt pretty impossible. And one thing I want to mention that I want to be very clear about, because I feel like a lot of people feel this way, and it's probably one of the most like hopeless feelings, is that you have this big thing happen, having a baby, right? And then you have this big thing happen, this trauma on top of it. And then you come out the other side and you now think that this is how you're going to feel for the rest of your life. Like you think like, oh, these things happened to me and now this is the person that I am. And it's not. And I want people to know that like, this is not how you will feel for the rest of your life. There are treatment options, there is support, but I remember feeling like, oh shit, like this is me now and this is awful and I don't want to feel this way.
I am so glad that you mentioned that, because I did in a way have a traumatic birth, not what we just talked about, but I did in a way have a traumatic birth, but I had a traumatic pregnancy. And I remember trying to rationalize, like every single day talking myself out of, you know, being really depressed, like, cause I was on strict bed rest. I couldn't get up. I couldn't play with my kids. I couldn't really do anything. And I remember thinking like this mindset that I was trying to talk myself out of every day, this completely depressed kind of like really anxious all the time mindset. And I remember thinking like, is this how it's exactly what you said? Like, is this me now? Is this how I, like, is this how I am all the time, you know? Yep. And working through that and trying to, all right, no, things are different now. My circumstances is different, but I'm going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to, you know, we'll get through this. Yeah. And so it's a little different for me, because I feel like you had this whole entire shift where, you know, you're still trying to figure out what just happened. You know, you're still trying to piece together the puzzle of what just happened. And now you have a baby on top of it. So yes, I do feel like, absolutely. Yeah. So for me, I did relate to what you just said with the new mindset, but it was a little bit different in my case, because there was that element of we'll get through it and not, oh, I'm a brand new person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's hard because I was a brand new person after trauma. Well, you're a brand new person when you have a kid.
Yeah.
Like right away, like that right there is the first layer. And then like my life was forever changed on that day. And I will never be the person that I was before. And that used to feel awful. Like that idea of like, I never get to go back and be here, but that's because the present was so painful. And so once I was able to heal more, which I mean, took years, I feel like like I will never be that person, and that's okay. Cause I'm this person, and this person's pretty great too. It's just not the person that I was before all of this happened. And I think another piece to birth trauma specifically and parenting after is that very often birth trauma is not just impacting the individual who gave birth. It often is impacting the partner as well. And so now you have two individuals who are traumatized in two different ways, who likely cope with that trauma differently, trying to parent together.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a recipe for disaster. And I talk a lot about this in my space, and I have a podcast that I brought my husband on for to talk about this, because we really, really struggled trying to parent through both of our individual traumas. And I did not have space or time for my husband to be traumatized. Like this happened to me and no one else. I was very like self-centered in my trauma, as we are. And I have self-compassion for that version of myself. I understand why she was self-centered in her trauma, but it completely invalidated my husband's experience and everything that he had to witness, and then try to parent on the back end.
And I think recently I feel like you've been talking about that more and more. I feel like you really have been showcasing your husband and his trauma and the things that he saw and went through a lot more in your, maybe you always have from the beginning. I feel like I have seen it showcased quite a bit recently. Yeah. So, and one thing too, that you had mentioned with the having compassion for yourself and having compassion for that version of you. That's something that I feel like I learned a lot of, because, and one thing that was different between my experience and your experience, besides everything, but like the, but one difference was, it was my third baby. And for you, this happened with your first child. And I do feel like that does change some things in a way. In terms of the perspective that you get with parenting and with motherhood and all of those things and what it's going to be like, because this was your first and only experience with that.
Yes. And I think that's
even for me on my third, it changed my perspective on a lot of things. And I've talked about this a lot. It's the reason I'm done having kids.
And I think that's a hard part for a very specific community of people who are one and done after birth trauma, whether physically, emotionally, because we will never experience parenting without trauma. That will never be an experience that we get to have. And I think that coming to like terms with that and being able to accept that is hard for sure.
But one thing that I like that you brought up is the having compassion for yourself at that time, that you were that version of yourself, having a lot of compassion for it, because that's something that I had to learn along the way too. Because when I was on bed rest for so long, I felt like the best parts of me as a mother were stripped from me. The best parts of me as a mom, before everything, was that I was fun and I was engaged and I was active and I was high energy and I was in it. Like that was what I was, I felt I was my strong suit. And then I didn't have that. And I had these moments, because I had two little kids too, where it was like, well, who am I as a mom? And how do I, how am I the same mom I was before now? But I couldn't be. I couldn't be the same mom. And learning that your best might look different dependent upon your circumstances was something that I had to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it takes a while to get there. I judged my past self for so long. Like, why didn't I try to breastfeed again just for like connection? Because obviously with all of the trauma, I wasn't able to do that. Or why didn't I try skin to skin when I, like, all of these things. And something I tell people all the time is that we cannot possibly understand with our current healthier brain what it felt like fully to be in that brain state and what we were thinking. Because trauma, it doesn't really allow you to fully put yourself back. Like, we remember it being awful and terrible and feeling like the worst, but you don't remember exactly what it felt like to be there and have to make those decisions and what was sort of impacting those decisions at the time. So it's so incredibly unfair of us to look back with healthier brains and say like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Why wouldn't I have tried that? Because you can't. That's why. You couldn't at the time. And that's okay.
Before we wrap up, if there was one thing that you could say to somebody who is going through this currently or is in the place that you were a couple years ago, what would you say to them? If you could share.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is knowing, maybe two important things.
Yeah.
One, going back to what I said before, you won't always feel this awful. It won't always feel this intensely awful. And the second being to allow yourself to have the feelings that you have without judgment or guilt. There's so much judgment and guilt wrapped up in motherhood. And I spent so long feeling guilty about my anger and my sadness because everyone was like, you're a miracle. You should be so grateful. And yada, 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 you shouldn't be here. And now you get to be here. And I spent so long raging against my anger and sadness because I didn't think it was allowed. I didn't think it was allowed to take up space. Only my gratitude and my reverence for what I made it through could take up space because so many others didn't get that opportunity who were in the same position. And so just reminding yourself that you can absolutely be grateful that you made it through and still incredibly angry and sad for everything that did happen. I like to call myself like the luckiest of the unlucky, because getting an AFE is pretty darn unlucky given the statistics, and surviving is pretty darn lucky.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because there is like this unspoken rule, I feel like, in motherhood, is that you can't say that you don't like something or that you're upset yeah. about something or that you wish something was different that has to do with motherhood, because you're supposed to be so, you know, all consumed. Consumably grateful for mm-hmm. for this child that you have. And of course you are. Of course you are so, so, so grateful for your child and for, you know, the opportunity to be a mother. But you can simultaneously say that you hated part of the experience, or that yep. you wished part of the experience didn't happen or was different. Yep. And I felt a lot of that because I was so miserable when I was pregnant, but I felt like, don't say it. Don't ever, like, just tell yourself how lucky you are, how lucky you are, how lucky you are. Keep telling yourself that, because I felt like if I said it out loud, that something terrible was going to happen. That like mm-hmm. I was going to cause something terrible to happen because I wasn't so just constantly, continuously grateful to be depressed and anxious and on bed rest and not knowing if my baby was going to make it. And then you play this yep. mind game with yourself that, but don't say it. Don't say you're unhappy about this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It so ties back to sort of, and we could talk about this for days, but just the martyrdom that is expected with motherhood and this idea that like you should be giving up all for your kids at all times, including every bit of yourself. And to your point, one of the biggest things that I always say is, you can hate the day your baby was born and still love them more than anything in the world. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. And I think that's really important to remember.
I think a lot of people have needed to hear that message. And you know that too, because again, I think you created a space, or you allowed people into a space that really needed to be there. Because I read your comments, I read the things that people leave for you, and it's really powerful. And I'm sure that you feel a lot of that too. I can't imagine yeah. what your inbox looks like from people saying, hey, I went through this too, and I'm so glad that you're sharing this and that you're allowing me to be able to share in a way too. So thank you again so much for creating that space that so many desperately, desperately need. So
thank you so much, Jess. And thank you for your content. You have no idea how much it has helped me survive the guilt of parenthood after trauma and just trying to do the best that I can. So thank you so much for that.
And thank you so much for being here today. So
yeah, of course, that was awesome.
It was long overdue. We should have done this a long time ago, but I'm so glad that we did it today.
I know, me too.
All right. I will let you run.
All right. Bye-bye.